Hi, friends. It is my privilege to welcome you to the Fabric Podcast as we explore the art of togethering. My name is Chris Tripolino, and this episode has a bit of everything as we welcome our friend, author, poet, artist, Joe Davis. He came to the Minnehaha Falls Bandstand and helped the folks gathered there explore art as a deep and beautiful way to help us in our journey of togethering. And I hope that's what this can be for you today.
I think sometimes we get stuck in our heads. Maybe I'm just talking about myself. Like, I can get really stuck in my head and not access my entire body, right, when I think about how I feel. And when we carry these feelings, they're inside of our entire bodies. You feel how you feel. There's no right or wrong feeling. Sometimes it can be overwhelming with what we're carrying in our bodies. I think that's the beauty of community, is some of the stuff we're carrying, we're not meant to carry alone. We're meant to share with others and help others carry it and hold it with us. So that's a practice that we have together. And I have a lot of practices. As an artist, practice is super important to me. I have like a whole imaginary toolkit with all these practices that I take out all the time to help me build community, to help me in that act of togethering. And one of my practices is I use like poetry and music and theater and dance to help me remember things that I don't always remember, because I can be a forgetful person. There's a lot going on up here. I can be like a scatterbrain sometimes. Like, even when I leave the house, I try to remember things. Like, I don't want to forget my wallet or my keys or my mask. Sometimes I got to, you know, bring my mask depending on where I'm going. So I would develop like a mantra or a poem or song to remember. I would say phone, wallet, keys, mask. Phone, wallet, keys, mask. Wallet, keys, mask, phone, wallet, keys, mask, wallet, keys, mask, phone, wallet, keys, mask, wallet, keys, mask, phone, wallet, keys, mask, wallet, keys, mask. You know, like, you gotta have things to remember, because we forget, and sometimes we forget who we are. We forget that we are good and worthy of love. We forget that we are beautiful, that we are powerful, these sorts of things, because there's a lot of negative messaging out in the world that make us forget those things, right? So what are those mantras, those affirmations, those poems, those songs, those little reminders that we have in our lives that bring us back into remembrance of who we are individually and who we are collectively as a community, right? And so I have a poem or a song, if you want to call it a poem or a song. They're kind of like same branches on the tree. But I'm going to invite our friend Justin to come up to help me with this. Can we give it up for Justin? Give some love, holding it down. Yeah. Because it's not about just doing it alone, it's about doing it together. We're all going to do this together. I wrote this poem and this song to serve as one of those reminders of who we are when we forget. And I think one of the most important grounding truths for me is that I am good and worthy of love, that you are good and worthy of love, that we are good and worthy of love. No matter what you say, what you do, no matter what's going on in life, that is always true. This body is good and worthy of love. This community is good and worthy of love. And so we say, you are good, you are worthy of love. You are good, you are worthy of love. You are good, you are worthy of love. You are good, you are more than enough. Yeah. All right, all right, all right. But it doesn't stop there. There's one more round of this that we're going to do together. We're going to say it all as one body, one community, one group of people togethering. We are going to say, we are good and worthy of love. We are good, we are worthy of love. We are good, we are worthy of love. We are good, we are more than enough. All right, y'all ready for that? We're gonna do a couple of rounds of that to close it out, and then we're just gonna like make some noise and clap and cheer and be joyful, because we are remembering this in our bodies, right? Just let that message sink into your spirit. Just like rub it in if you gotta rub it into your heart, because we really wanna live this thing. We really wanna walk like we know this is true, because it is. Right? So let's say this one more time together. We are good. We are worthy of love. All right, here we go. We are good. We are worthy of love. We are good. We are worthy of love. We are good. We are worthy of love. We are good. We are more than enough. One more time we say, we are good. We are worthy of love. We are good. We are worthy of love. Yeah. We are good. We are worthy of love. We are good. We are more than enough. Yeah, give it up for yourselves, give it up for each other. Yeah, that feels so good, right? It feels so good to say it. It feels so good to hear it. I know I need reminders like that. Thank you so much, Justin. But that's what it's all about for me. That's one of the reasons why I'm even an artist, is to create that type of space for myself and others, because my body didn't always feel like a safe place to be. I know there was times where I felt really disconnected. I felt really scared. I didn't feel very grounded and centered, and I needed things like that in my life. I needed people in my life to remind me of those things. And that's what togethering is about for me, is like when we forget those things ourselves, we have people in our lives who can remind us and bring us back into remembrance. And maybe if you forget, I can be that person in your life. I can offer you a poem or a song or an embodied practice to call you back into that remembrance of who we are and what's possible together, right? That's what it's all about. So I did write a poem in my new book to create that space. This poem is called This Place. And as I read this, I want to invite you to reflect and meditate on that place for you where you feel safe, where you feel centered and grounded and connected, that place for you where you feel most like yourself. This place, a poem to honor where you feel most like you. Here is where we give you the permission you haven't yet given yourself to show up and be your most authentic self. You can cry here. You can take your time here. To be you is not a crime here. We are all connected to the divine here. We shine brighter when we all shine here. We rise higher when we all rise here. We practice being kind here. We celebrate the fact that we are still alive here. You can make mistakes here. No guilt, blame, or shame here. There's only grace here. We know you by name here. We've been waiting for you. We're so glad you came here. We hope that you stay here, because all that you are can be reclaimed and embraced here in this place. Yeah, that's that piece right there. Yeah, we can clap, snap, whatever you feel to welcome that spirit. And every poem in my book has an invitation that's connected to it. And so the invitation here says, place your hand over your heart, breathe deeply, and thank God for the gift of your body. What's the most compassionate thing you can do for yourself in this moment? Go and do that. And that's what it's all about. One of the ways I now see my body is this gift of protection and loving intent. Because no matter what happens to my body is always trying to protect me and keep me safe and love me and care for me. If I get a cut on my body, immediately that cut is going to start to heal. I don't have to tell. I don't say, whoa, heal. You got to heal. Like, the blood is going to start to coagulate and it's going to form a scab and form a scar. That's what our bodies naturally are designed to do. And if that doesn't indicate a loving intent, I don't know what does. We are loved into existence. Our body are our examples of love, right? I think that's so beautiful, so powerful. I'll try to come back to that as much as I possibly can. So I need these poems and these songs and these stories to bring me back to that place again and again, whenever I forget, whenever I get lost. And so one of my stories recently that I've been coming to that I want to share is a story in the scriptures in Luke. So I want to pull it up and read it to us. And I love how the story always starts with abundance, I think. Like, in this particular story, as I pull it up here, we see that Jesus is going around doing what Jesus does. He's going around inviting people into that abundance. He's inviting people into deeper healing and wholeness and community. Jesus is just doing what Jesus does, right? But then we see that there's barriers that are set up to that abundance. And just as that happened then, that's still happening now. But I want us to reflect on that. How do we see this continually happening, where there is abundance in the world? We live in a world of abundance, and yet there are barriers within us and outside of us that keep us from that abundance of healing and wholeness and community. But the story goes like this. It says, on one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing one on a bed, a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus, but finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Men, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise and walk? But you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And immediately he rose before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things this day." So there's a lot of things that I love about this story. I love that you have this man who was paralyzed, right? And he wanted to experience the healing and the wholeness and the abundance of community that so many around him were experiencing. And yet, he couldn't have access to that because of barriers, the barriers that were created by the crowd, right? But what really strikes me is that he had people in his life who cared enough to remove those barriers. It said that they created a hole in the structure. They reshaped the structure so that he could have access to that healing and that wholeness and that abundance. And I really just want to sit with that for a moment. Like, who do we know in our lives who care enough to reshape the structures around us so that others can have access to the healing and the wholeness, the abundance that's there already? And maybe there's times where we've been those people who don't have access, right? There's barriers. I know I have barriers in my life. I have barriers within me and barriers around me. Some of the barriers inside of me, I think about, I have my own fears and insecurities, and I have that inner critic in my head, right? Sometimes that inner voice is the harshest voice of all, right? Saying that we are not good, we are not worthy of love, we are not enough. I hear that voice oftentimes, and it's hard to quiet that voice. And things that I've internalized, right? Internalized racism and sexism and homophobia and all these things that, like, this is in our world, and sometimes it gets stuck inside of us, right? And those are barriers within our own hearts, within our own minds, within our own bodies. I experience those barriers within myself. And then I also see barriers outside. I see systemic barriers and historic barriers. I see trauma. I see pain. I see violence and oppression. I see laws that are stripping people of their human rights, right? There's all these barriers all the time. But what are the ways that when we're togethering as community, just as we see in this story, that there's people who care enough to reshape the structure so that everyone can have access to that wholeness, to that abundance that's already there, right? I think we have to practice that because we haven't figured it out. Sometimes we're just not well practiced in it, right? It's really awkward and messy and uncomfortable, and we don't know how to do it well all the time. But I think that's because we got to get more practice, right? And I think this right here is a space where we can practice togethering, where we can practice reshaping the structures, removing the barriers, right? Where there once was barriers, there can be new openings. Where there once were closed doors, there can be openness. And that's what I want to invite us to not only envision, but to embody. I think that's why being in our communities and using our bodies is so important. One of my mentors, Rez Menicum, who wrote a book, My Grandmother's Hands, I've talked about him a lot. I think I may have talked about him last time I was here, but he talks a lot about how we've reached the intellectual zenith of our conversations about, like, racial healing and healing from sexism and violence. We've read every single book out there that we could possibly read, and we've listened to all the podcasts, and we know all the things, right? But how do we embody it? How do we get it into our bodies? We get stuck in our heads, right? I think we got to practice getting into our bodies more. That's what this is about. That's what this opportunity is for. So I want to invite us into some more of that. It's envisioning and embody. You can join us, too. You can be a part of it as well. My friend Justin is going to come play the drums, too. But you're welcome to play instruments and sing and dance with us, too. Yeah, you're cool. We're going to do an exercise where you get to have the drums as part of it. So we're going to do, we have a couple of ways to interact here. Well, first, you know, as we have the door here, this door symbolizes creating openings where there once were barriers, creating spaciousness where there once were closed doors. So I want us to think about what are the barriers in our lives, within us and around us, and how can we create more room to access that abundance, right? What are ways, what does that look like? What are practices? What are things we can say and do with our bodies in community to make that happen? And so what are some, can anybody just shout out a couple of ways? What are some ways you think you've either seen somebody do that for you, or you've been able to do that alongside others? Some ways you can remove those barriers. Practice this togethering, this reshaping of structures that allows us to lean deeper into abundance, deeper into healing, deeper into community. Climbing mountains, yeah, going like hiking and walking and climbing, doing activities. Is that something you've done before? Or like, I see you looking around. Oh, nice, that's awesome. Yeah. I even think about how that can, like, the way that feels in your body to, like, push through that physical effort, right, together and accomplish that feels really good in our bodies. And how can that ripple outward in other ways as well throughout our lives? Like, what are other things that we're climbing, we're overcoming, that may seem insurmountable, but we can overcome them together? That's beautiful. That's powerful. Yeah, I see. I thought I saw your hand back here as well. And you were saying you did that with her, or? Yeah? Nice. The high schoolers went together in Colorado and climbed mountains. Yeah. Cool. I love that. Yeah. What are some other things that you either have done or you can do? Yeah. Yes, just being honest. Yeah, that's a big one. I've been practicing what I've heard called radical honesty. And that's like really digging deep into the root and saying the things that oftentimes feel uncomfortable but need to be said, right? And that for me is like a growing edge. That's the practice. Because I know one of the barriers that I've had in my life in regards to that is like I've developed this unhealthy pattern of people pleasing. Like, I care about people and I think that's a beautiful thing, but then sometimes it can become like unhealthy to the point of like, oh, maybe I won't say this because I don't want to offend anybody, even though it's the truth and it needs to be said, right? But that can be barriers in myself and in relationships. And so yeah, I think that's something that's really important. It's always speak the truth always as much as possible. Be honest with yourself and others. Yeah, getting comfortable with being uncomfortable, right? Because we don't grow unless there's some uncomfortability, right? Like, our growing edge is us moving from what we're familiar with, what we're used to, what we're comfortable and complacent with, into a new area. We're going to be stretched a little bit, and it's going to be messy. It's going to be awkward. It's going to be uncomfortable. But one of my favorite quotes is, you can't learn and look good at the same time, right? And so that's what this journey is. That's what togethering looks like, is we're gonna feel really weird and really awkward. We're gonna slip up. But if I fall, I got people around me who can catch me. If you fall, you got people around you who can catch you and hold you up. We rise higher together, right? We shine brighter together. We hold on to each other in this journey of togethering to get closer into that world of abundance, that world of healing, that world of community. That's what I want to experience together. So I want to share one more poem. As I share this poem, I want to invite you to continue to think about what are those ways that we can practice this togethering, this opening up of spaces where there formerly were barriers, right? Those walls. Do you have one you want to shout out? Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It really is. Yeah, you could change somebody's day, somebody's life. You never know what somebody's story is, what people are carrying, what they're holding, what they're going through. And just expressing like that small gesture of kindness to say, I see you. You matter. Right? That's incredibly powerful. Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah. So I want you all to continue to think about that. We're going to get the chance to embody this more, to practice this. And so we have a creation station where you're going to be able to write this down. What does togethering feel like in our bodies? As a poet, I care a lot about taking the invisible and making it visible, taking the abstract and making it something more concrete, something that we can experience, something we can sense. So when we think about the five senses, right? Taste, smell, touch, hearing, seeing, what does this look like in connection to those five senses? And also in our papers, we have the questions of, if togethering was a smell, what would it smell like? If togethering was a taste, what would it taste like? If togethering was a sound, what would it sound like? You don't have to respond to every single one of those, but just pick like one or two of them. And I want you to envision and embody what this practice can look like in community together. So give you a chance to think about that, to write that. As you're doing that, I'm going to share a poem, and then afterwards we'll get a chance to put them on the door here, kind of symbolizing, creating that spaciousness and that openness where there once were barriers, where there once were closed doors. So, yeah, give you all a chance to do that. So one of my newer pieces, and I wrote it at a time where I was carrying a lot of heaviness and a lot of barriers within myself, and I was kind of avoiding the confrontation of those barriers. I was like, I was binge watching Netflix. I was on my phone, doom scrolling, like just finding anything and everything to distract me. But I felt like this still small voice just kind of pulling at my heart and tugging me and saying, you know what? You got to slow down. Like, listen to your body, listen to your spirit, like create some pause. Because I think our culture isn't necessarily designed for that. It's designed to go, 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 work, 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 do, do, do. It doesn't even sound right, do, do, do. Like, we're human beings. Like, when we have the opportunity to be with ourselves, to be with each other. And so I finally took that moment, finally took that time. I turned off my phone, turned off my computer, and I sat at the edge of my bed. I just put my hand over my heart, and I started to listen to my body. I sunk into one of my practices of like prayer and meditation and really just listening, just deep listening. And I realized, I was like, wow, there's a lot going on in here that I didn't even know was going on. Like, there was like a vibration in my gut and in my chest. Like, my whole nervous system was rattled. And I was just like that on a regular day-to-day basis. I didn't even know. I was completely oblivious of it. But I started to listen. And the more I listened, I felt that vibration like move, move, move. And then I was like, that's anxiety. I named it. And then it rose a little bit higher. I was like, there's something even deeper under the anxiety. And I was like, I think there's some sorrow and there's some grief there. And I felt like I wanted to cry, but I didn't really want to cry. I was like a little resistant to it because, you know, as a man, like when I was younger, I was taught like, oh, you're supposed to be strong and suck it up and you're not supposed to cry and express your emotions. But that's whack. You know what I'm saying? I was like, you know what? I feel this. I need to release it. I need to let go. And I just surrendered to the moment and I just released. And like, I started to cry. Now, I didn't just cry, though. I ugly cried. I like the snot bubbles, and like, it was not sexy. It was like, just let go, man. And I just sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. But in that moment, that was such a powerful moment of release and surrender that I physically felt lighter in my body. And things didn't magically get better for me, but I could see more clearly, and I felt more centered and grounded and more in my body. And I had a deeper trust and stability in how I moved. And so I was just having moments like that with myself and with others, I think it's been really healing for me. So I want to share this piece and give you all the opportunity to kind of release, put out into the world what these moments can look like for you when you're able to be vulnerable, when you're able to be open and honest and remove those barriers and just be free to create, right? And that's when I was able to create this poem right here. It's called You Gotta Cry Sometimes. I sat in silence on the edge of my bed with traffic jam thoughts pounding inside of my head. Nerves vibrating, tightening like a spider web thread. and I gently covered my chest with the palm of my hand. It felt like a part of me bleeding, like every part of me leaving, even the God I believe in. I thought in secret, is this what they call grieving? I was bobbing and weaving till I started releasing so hard I was heaving from the sobbing and weeping. This was the moment I finally let go. A moment the floodgates could no longer withhold. The moment I surrendered and lost all control and let the holy waters wash over my soul. Holy water, cleanse me, wash me. Hold me gently, hold me softly. Jesus wept. These tears have taught me to weep is human, to weep is godly. When I gave permission for the waves to rise, waters gathered like a choir in the aqueduct of my eyes, singing psalms of lament with each changing tide, baptizing my breath with every bathing sigh. Tears of mercy and justice kissed, rolling down my chin to meet. Rivers of righteousness slid round my cheek like a mighty stream. These waters have shown me crying is not a sign of being weak, but love's persistent flow within us during our time of grief. Holy water, cleanse me, wash me. Hold me gently, hold me softly. Jesus wept. These tears have taught me to weep is human, to weep is godly. I am not broken. I am breaking open. My heart is learning the art of staying open. No need to fight, to hide inside, try not to let somebody know. I need to cry and remind my eyes to see where new life might flow. Tears make my eyes swell. Tears make my eyes well. I feel a little lighter now. I see a little light here now. There's something in this water that heals more than time can tell. These waters won't recede until they've watered every seed, and we may be in need to rinse, wash, and repeat. Holy water, cleanse me, wash me. Hold me gently, hold me softly. Jesus wept. These tears have taught me to weep is human, to weep is godly. And the invitation at the end of this piece, it says, if you've been feeling bottled up lately, give yourself permission to feel any heavy or uncomfortable emotions. Without resisting or suppressing any feelings or sensations, pay attention to your body, what you feel, where you feel it. After giving yourself enough time to sit with and process your emotions, write any wisdom or insights that may have emerged. Just intentionally creating those spaces for ourselves in our lives. That's become a regular practice for me, just because I've seen how transformative it's been. And so I want to invite you all to practice here today. If you have anything on your sticky notes about how to create that spaciousness, right, how to remove those barriers and deepen that path towards more healing and liberation, I invite you all to put anything that you wrote on the sticky notes. We can put them on the door here. One of the people who I consider like my mentors, I never actually met them, but Dr. Cornel West. He's a public theologian, public intellectual, and I listen to everything he puts out, try to read everything he puts out. One of my favorite quotes by him is about hope, and he says, I'm highly suspicious of the discourse of hope. I think that's too abstract. The question is not having hope. The question is being hope. Having hope is too detached, too spectatorial. You got to be our participant. You got to be an agent. And that's what I love. That's how I try to practice in community, is to embody it, to be an agent, to be our participant.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's really how we talk about this community, that this experiment of togethering that we are as Fabric. And we often in the welcome, we say we don't come to Fabric. We don't go to Fabric. We don't have a church or have a community. We are the community.
Thanks for listening. We hope this podcast sparks conversation in other parts of your life. If you're looking for meaningful connections, there's a Fabric group for you to try, whether you're in the Twin Cities or not. Tag @FabricMPLS with your wonderings on social media and find resources on our website, fabricmpls.com.